Dearly beloved in the hearts of Jesus and Mary, the world will never understand the words of Jesus, the incarnate wisdom of God, as he prayed thus to his heavenly Father. I praise thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent, and didst reveal them to the little ones. Yes, Father, for such was thy good pleasure. The world is incapable of understanding the ways of God because its wisdom and prudence is not of God. Its wisdom is the wisdom of the flesh, which is the enemy of God, as St. Paul tells the Romans. And the Apostle also tells the Romans that the wisdom of the flesh is death. In writing to the faithful of Corinth, the same Apostle records the thoughts expressed by Isaiah the prophet, who quotes the Most High as saying, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the prudence of the prudent I will reject. The words of Jesus our Lord and those of St. Paul, which apply so well in the lives of all the saints, and especially in the life of the humble handmaid of the Lord, are clearly fulfilled also in the life of St. Bernadette of Lourdes, especially the Immaculate Virgin. We find another one of those foolish things of the world which God has chosen to put to shame the wise. And in the eyes of some, he appears even more foolish than normal, though she is anything but foolish in the eyes of God. In her, we have another one of those weak things of the world which God has chosen in order to put to shame the strong. And she is another one of those base things of the world, and one of those despised of the world, upon whom the Heavenly Father looked in good pleasure. Saint Bernadette is another one of those things that are not, that is, a nobody, whom God has chosen to bring to naught the things that are, that is, those who in their pride and self-love think they are somebody, whereas before God, they are spiritually and morally nobodies. To those who are called, as St. Paul expresses it in writing to the Corinthians, St. Bernadette, like Christ the Lord, is a manifestation of the power of God and the wisdom of God. As the Apostle immediately adds, in speaking thus of Christ the Lord, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of God and the weakness of God manifested itself in Bernadette Soubirous, especially in the year 1858, when the apparitions of the Immaculate Virgin took place, but the Most High prepared the child for her predestined role, placing her in surroundings and circumstances that were not at all imposing in the eyes of the world, but they were ideal in the eyes of God. This child of predestination was born of Francis and Louise Soubirous on January the 7th in the year 1844, during the reign of Pope Gregory the 16th, 2.5 years before the 1846 apparition of La Salette, and 10 years or nearly 11 years before the proclamation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, which was destined to receive added glory through the Lourdes apparitions. Bernadette was born on a Sunday. 2 days later, on Tuesday, January the 9th, she was baptized in St. Peter's Church in Lourdes, where her parents had been married exactly 1 year previously. Some biographers have not failed to take note of the apparently unconscious mistake of the baptizing priest, who reversed the order of the two names given to the child by her parents. The name given to the child by the parents was Bernard Marie, but the priest kept saying Marie Bernard. Bernard, spelled with an E on the end, is, of course, the French feminine form for Bernard, while Marie means Mary. Bernadette is the diminutive and affectionate form of the name Bernard. The baptizing priest's mistake in reversing the order of Bernadette's baptismal names has been looked upon as a kind of prophetic mistake, since the name order that he used resulted precisely in the name that Bernadette received when she entered the convent 22 years later, where she was known as Sister Marie Bernard, except that this time there was no letter E at the end of Bernard. The one thing that stands out at the very beginning of Bernadette's life is the lack of any kind of real wealth or of any real abundance of the things of this world, which could have drawn her heart away from God and away from the Mother of God, to whom the people of Lourdes were as a whole deeply devoted. There wasn't any dire poverty for a while, but even that came later on. And with the poverty came poor and even truly unhealthy living conditions. Bernadette's father, Francis Subiru, was 34 years old before he married Louise Castro, who was only 17 at the time of the marriage. But it was through Louise's widowed mother, who had four daughters altogether, that Mr. Subiru was able to become manager of the Bowley Flour Mill in Lourdes. And it was there, in fact, that he became acquainted with his future wife. After marriage, the Subiru and Castro families lived together for several years at the Bowley Mill, which did not provide any spacious living quarters even for just one family. For the first few years of Bernadette's life at the Bowley Mill, her parents did fairly well enough with their milling business, and they had quite a few good customers who brought their grain to the mill for grinding into flour. But gradually, various factors entered in that eventually caused Francis Subiru to lose the management of the Bowley Mill, one of the causes being the fact that he was unable to pay for the necessary repairs of the mill grinding wheel. He lost customers as a result and was on the verge of bankruptcy. By 1854, when Bernadette was 10 years old, her father could no longer meet the rent payments. He had to give up operations at the Bowley Mill, which had by now become the property of a cousin of his who wanted to run it himself. There were six flour mills on the west side of Lourdes, plus a sawmill. So the family moved to another mill. The business was too poor, and Bernadette's father had to take on odd jobs now and then in order to support the little family. Within a year or so, the family had to move again, this time to a little village 3 miles east of Lourdes, where Francis Subiru made a third attempt to run a flour mill, but this too was a failure. The family now reached a state of destitution. Bernadette's father and mother had for a time enjoyed at least a minimum of social standing, not of course in the eyes of the well-to-do, but in the eyes of their own poor class to which they belong. Now they lost even that. As we know from the scriptures and from the lives of the saints, God humbles and chastises those whom he loves. It was very humiliating for Francis and Louise Subiru to return to Lourdes to seek odd jobs among those who knew them in their better days. But they had no other choice. The only thing that they would not do is to go around begging for food. When they returned to Lourdes, the Subirus managed to find about the most dismal place in town for their living quarters, and they were fortunate to obtain even that. It was called the Dungeon, and it had been used as a jail at one time, and there were still bars on one of the windows. Light came in only from one side, but never any direct sunlight. They had only one room, and it was barely 12 by 15 feet. The living conditions were unhealthy there, both inside and outside, but they were just as healthy as the cave of Bethlehem, where the Savior was born. And the all-important thing is that the conditions were such as to attract the merciful gaze of the Most High, who was now about ready to call his beloved little child of predilection and predestination to the grotto chosen by the Immaculate Virgin. We must point out that Bernadette suffered from more than just the poverty of her home, with its lack of food and other necessities. The Lord visited her also with sickness and a chronic physical ailment. She had been in good health for about the first 6 years of her life, but then came the first attacks of asthma, the ailment that stayed with her the rest of her life. The rest of her comparatively short life of 35 years. Her condition as a victim of asthma often brought on fits of coughing that almost choked her. When she was 11 years old, an epidemic of cholera swept through the valleys of the Pyrenees Mountains and it reached her. Many children died in the epidemic, but Bernadette, though stricken by the disease, recovered, undoubtedly through the power of prayer alone. Because of her sicknesses, Bernadette did not grow to normal height, but remained small in stature all her life. The fact that little Bernadette experienced so many trials, both physical and mental, during her childhood years, served to draw her away from this wicked world, as St. John the Evangelist expresses it in his first epistle, and at the same time drew her closer to God and kept her close to him and to the Blessed Mother, whom she loved with a truly childlike love. Though the hard realities of life made little Bernadette a mature early in life, and also made her a serious person, she nevertheless possessed a very winning smile that endeared her to many. More important than this external feature was the fact that she was gentle by nature and humble and obedient and respectful, and she never sassed back disrespectfully at anyone. She was a special delight to her father, who would find some excuse or other, such as delivering a sack of flour to a customer, in order to go visit with her when she was away from home. Bernadette was away from home for many months preceding the operations at the grotto, but she was away from home off and on for shorter or longer periods, also at other times. Thus, for example, she was with a foster mother for many months until she was weaned when she was a baby. Her mother had suffered serious burns when her clothes were set fire by a candle, so she was unable to nurse the child herself. In connection with nursing the babies, we would like to mention the fact that little Bernadette would at times carry the baby of the family to her mother so that it could be nursed when the mother was far away from home working, for example, on some farm. Bernadette, though still so young and so little herself, was of incalculable help to her mother in taking good care of the children younger than herself. The last detail that we wish to mention before the apparitions, from among the countless most interesting details that could be told, is the fact that little Bernadette was a shepherd girl on a farm some distance from Lourdes for about 7 months preceding the apparitions, that is, from about the end of June 1857 until the latter part of January of the historic year of 1858. The A hour, or the apparition hour, was now close at hand. The reason why Bernadette came back home in January of 1858 was due to her own personal desire to join the First Communion class of 1858. She had not received her First Communion sooner because she could not learn her catechism. The fact is that she could not read nor write, and she had difficulty understanding the genuine French spoken by the teachers and by the sisters and the priests and others, for she was used to the local French dialect or patois spoken in the Lourdes area. Her parents never had any formal schooling, and they could not read nor write. And now Bernadette, though already in her teens, had attended very few classes, and as she said later on, she didn't learn a thing when she did attend classes. She had a very poor memory when it came to learning her catechism. When her foster mother, on whose farm she was staying and caring for the lambs, was quite impatient with her, and she tried to teach her the catechism, but could get nowhere with her. Biographers often use such words as ignorant and backward when speaking of young Bernadette, and she herself considered herself to be worthless. But this kind of ignorance and backwardness and worthlessness did not repel nor irritate the Most High, who saw within the soul of Bernadette qualities that were most favorable for his holy designs, and that were now about to be fulfilled for his glory and for the good of souls. Bernadette Soubirou had just turned 14 on January 7, 1858, and she was now beginning her 15th year of life. And then came February the 11th, 1858. As it was divine providence that brought Bernadette back to Lourdes from the sheep farm a few weeks earlier, so it was on this predestined day that the same divine providence brought her to the lonely grotto on the north side of the massive rock cliff called the Mas Abiel in the Lourdes dialect, and which is said to mean the old hump, because it stood out so prominently as a big hump of rock in the high Pyrenees mountains. The majestic Lourdes Basilica now stands on top of the old hump, facing the town to the east. The divinely chosen day of February the 11th was a Thursday. It was a holiday for the school children, for some reason not disclosed, so this gave Bernadette, herself one of the school children now, the opportunity to go out to look for firewood together with a younger sister and another girl. It was a cold, gloomy, overcast day. But it was not to remain thus for Bernadette, who was about to see the eternal light of the supernatural world. Bernadette's asthma was a contributing reason for the fact that she found herself all alone at the very spot, now so sacred, where she would see the Immaculate Virgin. Because of her asthma, Bernadette wasn't really supposed to go out on a day like that. But she told her mother that she used to go out with the sheep in the same kind of weather. And her mother gave in and let her go. And now near the grotto, because of her asthma, Bernadette was not supposed to wade through the icy waters of a small stream or canal coming down into the Gave River from one of the mills upstream. Her younger sister, Antoinette, commonly called Toinette, and the other girl named Jean, unhesitatingly crossed the extremely cold water. But because it was so cold, tears came to their eyes. As Toinette was about to wade across, she pulled up her dress to her knees because the water was knee-deep. Bernadette, so conscious of modesty, even when no men or boys were around, sternly called out to her, "Lower your dress." After crossing the icy stream, Toinette sat down for a few moments and wrapped her dress around her cold feet and legs to warm them up a bit. And then the two girls were off, looking for firewood, and also for bones that could be sold to an antique dealer for a few much-needed coins. Soon they were out of Bernadette's sight, and remained out of sight for about 15 minutes or so. And now the Holy Virgin had little Bernadette all to herself, with no one to interfere with the beginning of her great act of mercy in coming to teach men to turn to God, and to do penance, and to pray. How carefully heaven chooses the right moments. With what wisdom the Most High uses all the movements and actions of men for the holiest purposes, and how even the elements serve their Creator in moments of great decision. As Bernadette, who has told the story herself, she was facing in the direction of the grotto and was starting to take off her stockings, the kind that she was obliged to wear in cold weather because of her asthma, when she heard the sound of wind as in a storm, somewhat reminiscent of the mighty wind of the first Pentecost. The sound was to the front of her. Because the sound of the strong wind came so suddenly, she looked around in surprise and saw nothing moving, except for a wild rose bush next to the grotto and actually growing out of the rock, whose branches were stirring, but even this she noticed only half consciously. After she finished taking off her stockings and had one foot already in the water, with the intention of crossing over to the other side, she heard that same sound of a strong wind and a storm to the front of her over by the grotto. She saw the wild rose bush shaking violently in the wind, but no other bushes or trees were moving. If Fatima, 59 years later, Our Lady would use other elements of God's created nature to attract the children, namely lightning and thunder, associated with storms. Here at the Lourdes Grotto, she used the kind of wind associated with storms, and it was now about the midday hour, just as at Fatima. The wild rose bush was just to the right of the Lourdes Grotto, and just below the niche in which Our Lady appeared, so that she seemed to be standing over it while in the niche. At Fatima, she literally stood upon a young homo growing wild in the cova diarrhea. Above the wild rose bush, Bernadette saw first a golden cloud and then a halo of light just before the lady in white appeared, framed by that halo of light. If Fatima, Our Lady, was destined to come surrounded by a bright cloud, which even some of the people saw, and she was all in white then too, only that some of the other details were different from her appearance in Lourdes. Bernadette described Our Lady of Lourdes as being penetrated with a soft light, which did not hurt her eyes. Lucy of Fatima has described Our Lady as being all light, a kind of shimmering light that was all alive. You know, it was a very bright light so that the children had a hard time looking at Our Lady of Fatima and at times turned their eyes away from her for a moment or so. In fact, Lucy received permanent damage to her eyes for looking into the brilliant light of Our Lady. At Lourdes, Our Lady smiled much at Bernadette, for as at Fatima, her expression was sweet, but it was tinged with great sadness, caused, no doubt, by the sins of men. The rosary stood out prominently at Lourdes, just as it did later at Fatima. Bernadette had a tiny rosary that she kept in a pocket, and this she took out when she saw the lady in white standing before her at the first apparition, but for later apparitions she began her beads before Our Lady appeared. This rosary was to her like a prayer book, because she could not read out of a real prayer book. And Bernadette was not able to make the sign of the cross and begin her rosary until the lady in the grotto niche did so with the crucifix of the alabaster and gold rosary which she had suspended from her right arm. And Our Lady did not say any of the rosary with Bernadette, except for the glory be to the Father, at which she reverently bowed her head. At the end of the rosary, during this first apparition at the Lourdes grotto, the lady in white smiled and bowed gently to Bernadette, and then she disappeared, as it were, into the niche where she had been standing. Her bare feet had rested on what Bernadette described as moss, and this would be understandable since the grotto faced north, and moss thrives only where the sun cannot touch it. On the way home from the grotto, after the first apparition, Bernadette told her younger sister, Toinette, "I saw a lady dressed in white with a blue sash and a yellow rose on each foot." The other girl, Jean, did not hear her say this because she had run on ahead. At home, it was Toinette who whispered to her mother what Bernadette had told her. The mother, suspecting a big lie, beat both Bernadette and Toinette with a stick, and there were to be no more visits to that grotto. But on the following Sunday, February the 14th, which was the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, or Quinquagesima Sunday, Bernadette's mother very reluctantly let her go to the grotto again, this time with about 20 of her schoolmates, all girls, who thus formed what has been called the first pilgrimage to the Lourdes grotto. They went after attending the Sunday High Mass, and they took some holy water from the church. At the grotto, Bernadette sprinkled with holy water the rock where Our Lady appeared, and then said to Our Lady, "If you come from God, then stay." Our Lady smiled. During the ecstasy that followed, Bernadette was bodily carried away by a man who had been called for help when the excited girls thought Bernadette was sick or even dead. And she remained in her ecstasy all the way to the nearest house, as if seeing the lady in white all the while. To visit the third apparition on the following Thursday, February the 18th, with the Lady asked Bernadette to come for 14 days straight, but without saying that she would appear on all those days. As a matter of fact, she did not appear on two of those days, making Bernadette very sad and wondering how she may have offended the lady. On all these days, Bernadette visited the grotto early in the morning. It was at the third apparition that the lady said to Bernadette, "I do not promise to make you happy in this world, but only in the next." The fourth apparition was marked by the attempted interference of Satan. Bernadette suddenly heard loud and confusing yelling and brawling coming from behind her, from the direction of the Gave River. And then she heard one voice dominate all the rest and roar, "Get out of there! Get out of there!" Bernadette, who was the only one to hear all this, believed that the arrogant command was directed at the lady more than at herself. It was Satan, fearing that many souls would be snatched from him by Our Lady. And she quickly silenced him and all the other demons by just an authoritative look in their direction, and all hell was suddenly quiet because of the command of the Queen of the Universe. But Satan attempted to get at Our Lady indirectly during the months after the 17th apparition by stirring up all kinds of phony mystics or mistakes and possessed persons who really had quite a few people confused and misled. He did not succeed in discrediting the genuine apparitions at the grotto, and eventually he gave up, and the phony mystics all disappeared out of the picture, and Bernadette alone remained as a sole, genuine visionary. In the apparitions that followed nearly every day, Bernadette was told, for example, "Pray to God for sinners," thus underlining the principal message of Lourdes, the conversion of sinners, repentance, amendment of life, just as is the case with the Fatima message. On one occasion, Bernadette herself turned to the people and cried out, "Penance! Penance! Penance!" In several apparitions, Bernadette performed various penitential acts, such as moving along on her knees, kissing the ground, even when it was muddy, chewing on a bitter-tasting weed, and also on grass, washing her face and hands with muddy water from the spring, which suddenly showed up at the 10th apparition. People thought she was going crazy, but they eventually got the message. She never forgot Our Lady's message of penance and amendment of life. It was at the 10th apparition, February 27th, that Bernadette was told by the lady at the grotto, "Go and tell the priests to have a chapel built here." Bernadette obediently carried the lady's request to the pastor of St. Peter's Church in Lourdes, Abbé Paramal, not just once, but several times. This priest, so good in many ways, would not believe Bernadette, and demanded proof that the lady was appearing to her at the grotto, and he repeatedly insisted that she must give her name so that he would know who she was. In several apparitions, the lady only smiled when she was asked her name. She kept postponing the revelation of her name, just as she did at Fatima. But the big day came, the most important of all in the 18 apparitions of Our Lady of Lourdes. It was March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation. It was only after Bernadette's third request during that apparition that the Lady in White, folded her hands at her breast, as we usually see in pictures and statues of Our Lady of Lourdes, raised her eyes to heaven and said, I am the Immaculate Conception. This was the 16th apparition of Our Lady of Lourdes. The 17th apparition was on April the 7th, and it was the day on which the miracle of the candle occurred. That is, the flame of the candle which Bernadette was holding did not burn her hand, even though she held the top of the burning candle in the palm of her hand. And the final apparition, the 18th one, was on July 16th, the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. The grotto was barricaded at that time by the anti-Catholic civil authorities, and Bernadette had to stay on the other side of the river while facing the grotto and saying the rosary. But she saw the lady smiling at her, and it was as if she were just as close to her as at all the other apparitions. This last apparition, symbolically, took place near sunset. The one most remarkable thing about Bernadette during all the apparitions and during all her encounters with both civil and ecclesiastical authorities, with her parents and teachers, and with people in general, was her calmness and composure through it all. She was always absolutely sure of herself, and she would let no one twist the story of the apparitions around in any way. She was clearly supported by the power of God. Outside the time of the actual apparition, she was always herself, diligent at work or in school, taking part in games with other children, and gay-spirited and often smiling, never putting on an act or pretending to be more pious or better than others. She even joked with the authorities when they threatened to put her in jail, saying that they should make sure that she has no chance to escape. Bernadette's character had much to do with the favorable judgment that Bishop Lawrence of the Diocese of Tarbes passed on the Lourdes apparitions. Though the all-important thing, as he said, were the good fruits that resulted, that is, the miracles of grace and the miraculous cures which God always provides as his seal of approval and as evidence that apparitions are genuine. Bernadette cooperated most willingly with the commission set up to investigate the Lord's happenings in 1858. Bishop Lawrence's official decree of January the 18th, 1862, declared, We judge that Mary Immaculate, Mother of God, did truly appear to Bernadette Soubirous on the 11th of February, 1858, and on subsequent days, to the number of 18 times in all, in the grotto of Massabielle, near the town of Lourdes. That this apparition bears every mark of truth, and that the faithful are justified in believing it as certain. We humbly submit our judgment to the judgment of the Sovereign Pontiff, who is charged with the government of the Universal Church. We authorize in our diocese the veneration of Our Lady of the Grotto of Lourdes. In order to comply with the will of the Blessed Virgin, expressed several times during the apparitions, we propose to build a sanctuary on the site of the grotto, which has become the property of the bishops of Tarbes. Thus Bernadette's mission as messenger of Mary was officially completed. Now she was free to follow her heart's desire, that of becoming a Sister of Charity in the Congregation of the Sisters of Nevers. She was now already 18 years old. but ill health prevented her from going to the convent immediately. She had violent attacks of asthma, but she was also a victim of pneumonia in the spring of 1862, and she would have died had she not been cured of the pneumonia with lurid water after Easter of 1862. But Our Lady did not cure her of asthma. Bernadette was finally able to enter the religious life in 1866, when she was over 22 years old. It was said of her that she was still almost a child to look at. She was given the name of Sister Marie Bernard. On the day of her reception, she said, "I have come here to hide myself." She had said that once you see the lady in white, nothing in this world pleases you anymore. So now she had left the world and had entered the religious life in order to be closer to God and Our Lady. But she also said that once you see Our Lady, you would die to see her again. Bernadette was not to wait too many years before she would see the Immaculate Lady again, this time to be with her in eternity. She had said that in heaven I shall find my mother in all the splendor of her glory. The Immaculate Virgin of the Grotto of Lourdes came on April the 16th, 1879, to fulfill her promise made at the third apparition that she would make Bernadette happy only in the next world. It was the Wednesday of Easter week. Sister Marie Bernard's last words were, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me, poor sinner, poor sinner." May the Lord bless you and give you peace.